Welcome to another edition of Texas Bluescast, where you'll hear the best in Texas blues music. Today we have a special guest in the studio, Mean Gene Kelton from Mean Gene Kelton and the Diehards. Welcome to the studio, Gene.
Thank you very much for the invitation to be here.
Well, I got your book in my hand, and tell us a little bit about Gigs from Hell.
Gigs from Hell implies exactly what it is. It's about all the strange, unusual, sometimes hilarious, and sometimes life-threatening events that occur in the average, everyday life of your working musician.
Tell me something that happened to you that's dangerous. I see some of your titles here. Hell House is a chapter. Mugged at the Silver Dollar. Held hostage by outlaw bikers. What's that all about?
I was doing a single act back in the early 80s, like around 83 or so. Now, that's one that really scared me. That scared the living daylights out of me. Working as a single act, I didn't have the backup of four or five guys in a band. And these people hired me to play a little backyard party. So I thought, just a little backyard party. And I arrived in mid-afternoon, as per agreed. Set up my equipment underneath the carport, and I was able to back right up to where I was to set up. Unloaded my car right there, set up right there by the carport, and did my 4 hours. And during the four-hour period, at least 100 or so motorcycles arrived. And now this is in 1983. There weren't any of these yuppie bikers wearing Rolex watches showing up like they are now at motorcycle rallies. You see a lot of guys showing up that are what's considered the yuppie riders, or the rich urban bikers, I believe they're called.
You mean the ones that haul their bikes on the covered trailer behind their Escalade?
Well, that does happen these days. I have seen that happen. And in 1983, the bikers that were showing up at this party didn't appear to be a part of any organized motorcycle gang. No one that I recall was wearing what they call colors, which designates them as a member of any certain group. But I do know that they were a rough-looking, scary-looking bunch, and they proceeded just to have a wonderful time that day. They had a great time. They were doing whatever it is they do, their recreational activities, as well as drinking lots of beer, and there was barbecue on the pit, and they were riding around on this great big lot there at this place in circles. They were just having a great time. But when it came time for me to go, they decided, your ass ain't leaving, son. And it's not that I think they were enjoying the music that much. I think they just wanted to exert their power over me. I was outnumbered, and so they just wanted to flex a little muscle. And in the process, it just scared the living hell out of me.
Well, I assume the fact that you're sitting here today, you got out relatively unscathed.
Yeah, I was unscathed. I was certainly marked for life for a long time to come. I probably should have sought some counseling. But in those days, you didn't go to counseling and you didn't seek professional help if you had a problem. You just thought, well, I'm alive, so you suffered through it. And what had happened was I quit playing at the time I was supposed to quit playing. Said thank you and goodbye and see you all down the road. And then they said, hey, man, we dig your music. And the look in their eye and the tone of their voice encouraged me to do one more set. So I said, hey, okay, man. I mean, it's like, hey, man, we really dig your music, man. And we think you ought to do one more set. And a bunch of them standing around, they all agreed. Anyway, so I was, well, sure, man, you know, and I felt this chill going up my spine when they said that. So I played another set and got ready to go, and the same thing happened again, only this time they were much more forceful in their request for me to stay, and I'm putting it very, very lightly. I told them, I said, look, man, I've been here all day, and I've done played 5 hours, and I'm a single act, and I'm really tired. And the guy says, look, if you're tired, we got stuff that'll keep you up for days. You get your ass back up there and play now. So I did. And fortunately for me, it was already getting real good and dark, getting late, and I'm up there just trying to figure out how in the hell am I going to escape this situation. And so they weren't paying any attention to me when I took my last break. I just announced, okay, I'm going to take a little short break, going to be right back, see y'all in 15 minutes. By this time, everybody had started kind of, most people were going home, and a lot of them were inside this big house doing whatever it is they do behind closed doors. And they didn't see me as I slowly rolled up my cords. Actually, I didn't roll my cords up. I dragged them to the car and threw them in as fast as I could, which I always loaded that car real neat so everything would fit in there just right. This time, it looks like I was hauling equipment to the dump. I was just throwing stuff in there as...
Just get it in and get out.
Well, I was trying to be inconspicuous, so I was having to move real slow. It's hard to move a speaker box real slow. I was just kind of pushing it a few inches at a time until finally I got everything in. I'm just kind of standing there holding my guitar, and they could see all I had out was my guitar. And so I tossed it in, fired up the car, and burnt rubber out of the driveway. Fortunately, there was no motorcycles parked in front of me, and thank God I escaped. Here I am today to talk about it.
Well, if you want to read the rest of the story, the entire story, you'll have to buy the book, but trust me, it's an exciting story. Another one I wanted to ask you about, just by the title, Stripped and Ripped. I'm scared to ask.
Oh, man, that was still working as a single act. That was also in the early 80s. I spent most of the 80s working as a single act, and I had a little drum machine, and so just me and my guitar and a drum machine. So I'm working at a place in Baytown, Texas. And it was an old, it used to be a Dairy Queen, but they turned it into a what we call an ice house in Texas. And it means it looks like a muffler shop, got great big garage doors. And they raised these garage doors up, and they got picnic tables all in there. So I'm up there playing, and this big, big, big woman comes up on the stage where I'm playing, walks around behind me, and throws her arms around me, pressing my arms to my side. I mean, she has got a death lock on me, and she's bigger than me, so she's able to lift me up off my feet.
What a visual.
Well, she's a big woman. She's at least, you know, 6'2", and probably weighed about 250, 260, I don't know, big old Texas girl, you know. And so while she's got me all locked down, the two of her girlfriends that are with her, they come up to the bandstand, and one of them is ripping off my shirt, just pulling pieces of my shirt off from underneath her arms locked around me, and another girl drops to her knees in front of me, unzips my pants, and is making a serious effort to pull my pants down.
All and while you're playing a show in front of people.
Well, at this time, I'm not playing. I'm standing there. I still have my guitar on, but I'm unable to play it because my arms are locked to my side.
But you had an audience.
Oh, yes. I had a large audience of screaming, raving, wild, crazy rednecks who were egging these girls on. And nobody was coming to my aid. And I was afraid I was going to drop my guitar. That was my main thing. But another thing that concerned me was being stripped naked in front of this audience.
Not part of the show.
No, it wasn't. It was certainly getting interesting. Had everybody's attention. My little drum machine was still going clickety-clack, clickety-clack, clickety-clack. And that's all you could hear. And I hollered at a buddy of mine who was sitting in the audience to come give me a hand. He came up, grabbed my guitar, and I'm hollering at him, take the guitar. I didn't want to drop it. Take the guitar. So he reaches and gets the guitar, and I'm thinking he's going to set it down and start pulling these crazy women off of me. Well, next thing I know, he's got the guitar, and I hear the guitar being played.
He started his own show.
He started playing the guitar, playing background music to this situation I was in. And I was trying to get out of my situation there without getting real violent with these women, but I was in a situation where I couldn't get loose. But I didn't want to just start swinging mad like I would if a man grabbed me. You know, if a man had grabbed me, I'd have knocked his lights out. But but these three women, they were just trying to have fun, but my pants were coming down.
Well, to see if Mean Gene's pants came down or not, you're going to have to buy the book. What prompted you to write this book to start with?
Well, just like you and I are telling these stories right now, so many times through the years, I have related these stories to different people. You know, a bunch of guys sitting around in a club at a table, or me and the band riding down a road on a road trip or something, and we'd be talking, and I would start telling these stories to different people, and people would say, "Man, you ought to write a book." And I heard that for 10, 15 years. And finally, I thought, well, you know, maybe they're right. I think I will just write a book and see what happens.
When is this book going to be hitting the stores?
Soon, I hope. I'm hoping that summer of 2007.
And where can we get this book?
GeneKelton.com is probably the first place anybody should look.
Is it going to be distributed on Amazon.com? Any place like that online?
All the places that distribute and sell books, like Amazon.com and other places, like I say, they can get it through there, but the first place to look would be GeneKelton.com, and follow the signs, and it'll tell you where to go from there to buy it online, or in a neighborhood store near you if that becomes available in the brick-and-mortar stores.
Well, one real quick synopsis of another story before we go. Snow White and Her Three Naked Sisters. What's that about?
Oh, man.
Can you do that one in a short amount of time that we have left?
A girl came up to the stage. She requested a song. She was a little hottie, probably about 23 years old, and just gorgeous as she could be, and drunk out of her brain. And I asked her, I said, "You look like you've been in show business, or you should be." Of course, I was just flirting with her, and she says, "Well, I am in show business. I'm a model." And I said, "You know, really?" So I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you stand up here next to me on this bandstand, and when the music starts, you just do whatever show business thing that you feel like you'd like to do." Well, I kicked off some real seductive kind of a beat. Next thing I know, she's pulling off her clothes, and before it's over, three other women are on stage with her, and they're all three in competition to see who can go the furthest of taking off the most clothes. And before it was over, they were all naked on stage. I mean, stripped, but right down to the day they was born naked.
And the show went on.
The show, well, yeah, the show went on until the, well, I...
Don't, yes, don't,
yeah,
don't
okay,
tell
I'm,
the ending.
I'm
they
giving
have
away
to
too
get
much
the
here.
Book. They have to get the book.
It got good.
Again, it's Mean Gene Kelton from Mean Gene Kelton and the Diehards with his new book, Gigs from Hell. You can get it on his website, GeneKelton.com, or the book has its own website, GigsFromHell.net, where you can hear other stories from Mean Gene himself. You can download individual chapters. You can buy an ebook. Any way you cut it, you can get the book, and you can have a good laugh.
And let's not forget that I'm also a performing musician, and I can be bought.
Just like the book. Thank you for coming, Mean Gene.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.